right, team, listen up. This crew is about family, but the game has changed now. Dominic Toretto just went rogue.
You gonna turn your back on family? I know it looks bad. Don't give up on him so easy.
You've only got one chance to make this family whole again.
Don't do this, Dom.
You ready?
One thing I can guarantee, no one's ready for this.
She's the very definition of high-tech terrorism.
There's thousands of cars in this city, and now they're all mine.
Now I know what it feels like to be every cop ever chasing us.
Cuba. Our paths have crossed before, Dom. You just didn't know it. I think I need to remind you why you chose to be here.
I got no choice!
Just like I got no choice to give you a nice old fucking. Oh, that's right. Talking about the fate of the Furious. The only movie reviewer that don't go by that bullshit of,
this is critic proof. What do you want? There's 8 of these movies. You can't judge these movies like that. If you go... I actually read a review where one critic even said that, oh, if you go into this movie trying to break down sense and anything like that, then you should even be reviewing this movie or anything like that. That is the dumbest fucking quote I have ever fucking heard from a critic at all. It's your job to break down these dumbass movies. If that's the case, we up to, what was it, 6 Twilight films? Why break those movies down then by the point where, what are we at, the 5th Transformers film? Why break them down? The Underworld films, the Resident Evil films, all these other bullshit-ass films that go past 5 films, whatever, that are terrible. Why the fuck does this one get a pass? No. You don't get no pass from me. I don't give a goddamn how late it is and how early I gotta be to get on the road to head over to Indio, California for a whole damn weekend of music, fucking and hot ass women walking around butt ass naked. Oh, hey, kind of like this movie actually. Then. So anyway, talking about the fate of the Furious, let's go ahead and give a plot synopsis. It's about family, and they get taken, so they gotta kill family. There you go, the end. No. So the plot of this is, you know, Vin Diesel returned as Dom, along with Michelle Rodriguez as Letty. Got some fucked up names, by the way, too. And they're on their honeymoon in Cuba, and it opens up with pretty much the typical Fast and Furious movie. You know, there's a bunch of badass-looking cars and just hot-ass women around them. I can't tell you how many of these movies just have just a row of random cars, and they just getting ready for a big-ass race with nobody else but the car people itself, whatever. And it's like, man, you would think by now people be like, I'm kind of sick of looking at these fucking cars, whatever. But he ends up having a race for his cousin to race, not to tow his car or some shit like that. Well, Dom ends up running the race. Next you know, he runs into Charlize Theron, who pretty much acts like she's a civilian who needs help with her car. But then she kind of tells him, I know who you are, Dom, and you're going to work for me, and I'll tell you the reason why. She shows him a phone. He don't really know why. I'm trying to think. I'm looking at these characters' names. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me, dude. This is like some goddamn comic book movie or something. No, not movie. Never mind. Take that back. Not a comic movie, but an actual comic book written in 1984. You got a dude named Mr. Nobody. What the fuck, dude? Anyway, though, she shows him a photo or her phone or whatever of what she may have. Now, it's believed to be in the trailer because they show that photo of Paul Walker and I don't remember his wife's name in that film, whatever, and their kid and everything like that. So it's reason to believe that, oh, she might have taken Paul Walker's that whole family together and stuff like. No. This is a whole. Matter of fact, Paul Walker, that photo never even comes up in this film. Whatever. So they even make an insinuation about Paul Walker's character. They say, you know, what we should call Brian and see what he's saying. And they was like, no, we won't do that. We'll honor his wish. He's retired now. I was like, you really need to bring that up, but okay, whatever. And basically, Charlize Theron, who plays Cypher in here, which the Ramsey, who's played by Nathalia Emanuel, they were most to believe that, like, oh, it was like some organization, like it's fucking Spectre or something like that, you know? Like it's some. God, I just now thought about it. It's like fucking. Fuck this movie. She shows him a picture, and apparently it's Elena. I'm not gonna lie, I don't remember who the fuck Elena is, okay? Apparently, I guess it was in the earlier Fast and Furious films where, I'm not gonna lie, I don't remember this chick at all. Apparently, it was before, I guess, they found out Michelle Rodriguez is a member. That's what she said. It's a photo of her and a baby, which is Dom's baby. Now, you don't get to see this until damn near the last 40 minutes of the film, probably like 50 minutes. This is over 2 hours and 16 minutes. So he ends up starting to work for her. Next you know it, Dwayne Johnson's character, Hobbs, he's getting a mission from God knows who and where this organization is. It's about taking probably one of the biggest EMD machines. I said EPMD. EMD machines. Might as well be EPMD. EMD machines where I forgot who hands it was. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't give a fuck. And he says, they say, oh, but you cannot take military personnel in there. Nobody can know who you are. You get caught, you'll go to jail, and then we can't help you or anything like that. So you got an assemble team, get off the grid, and steal this. God, oh, it's from Germany. Yeah, it's from the Germans. Yeah. And next you know it, they do it, and Vin Diesel's Dom. He ends up turning his back on him, stealing the EMD, and Dwayne Johnson Hobbs tells him, Dominic Toretto, he just went rogue on us. Next you know, the team is in shock, stunt, you know, Letty, she's doing her best to cry, but Michelle Rodriguez is not that great of an actress, so, you know, she tries at least, I guess. And the rest of the team, you know, Tyrese Gibson, he's just there, he comes back as Roman. You got Chris Ludacris Bridges, that's what he goes by, he's playing... What was it? I think it's Teej. I don't remember his fucking character. Now, who gives a shit? Now, you know, obviously he's got his girl, Ramsey, even though it's not his girl, really. It's just her and him and Tyrese and Ludacris. They just like fighting over her throughout the whole movie, even though she's always riding with Ludacris. It's like, why don't you just fuck him already? You're both computer hackers. Oh my God, don't even get me started on that. Next, you know what? Kurt Russell tries to offer Dwayne Johnson. He's like, hey, man. We can get you out of here, but you're going to have to quit your job and come underground work for us. Also, Scott Eastwood, he plays, get this, Little Nobody. That's the name he goes by in here. So, because he works for under Mr. Nobody, and he's kind of a new guy on their force, and he's by the books, doesn't really know details. Basically, he's Paul Walker's replacement. That's exactly what he is. And next thing you know it, something goes wrong. Jason Statham and Dwayne Johnson ends up escaping prison, even though Dwayne Johnson really wasn't trying to escape. He said he wanted to do this by the book. Only reason why he charged that Jason Statham is because he wanted to make sure he doesn't escape and get his ass. Well, it turns out Mr. Nobody got them free. Dominic Toretto and Charlize Theron. Oh, so embarrassing for her to be in this film. And they're trying to steal nuclear codes from the Russians. What they do first is they end up invading the new location of Mr. Nobody's whatever this secret base is at or whatever. They end up invading them and then throwing bombs in there. So Dominic Toretto almost killed these people, basically, even though he calls them family. And, you know, they have this walkout. Apparently, what's his name? Jason Statham plays Deckard in here. His character has got beef with Charlize Theron. That's the only reason why he's working with them, because it makes no goddamn sense why he would even work with this team after what they did to him and supposedly his brother in the last film, too. I guess we just forgot that theory here. So then next, another team is going to try to stop Dom and bring him to here. They go, you fucking plot. Why am I going into full detail about this? Okay. I got to tell you, I almost in some sense kind of understand why people, some people just like these films. But this film is fucking boring and stupid as shit. Now, I will say, this one is kind of in the senses, I can say it, it's the tamest out of the other, what is it, seven now? But damn, this movie was just stupid beyond disbelief, man. It's almost like this movie is telling you, you know how they say, oh, turn your brain off, have a good time. No, this movie is saying, if you don't have a brain, come and watch it. I'll just go ahead and break down some logic. I bet people are wondering how many times they say family in this film. I counted. It's about a total of 13 times in this fucking film, especially towards the end. Oh, my God. They crank that shit up to 100 how many times they say family in here. Dwayne Johnson, there are some parts I can say this guy's having fun with this, and you can clearly tell that they just told him to go with everything say, and some of his lines probably could be passable for me. But he had some god-awful dialogue. I was embarrassed for this brother, especially his delivery on some of them, where he told Jason Statham character, he was like, oh, I gotta work with this tea crumpet some bitch. That's exactly how he said it, some tea crumpet some bitch. I was like, oh, God. It was so cringeworthy. There was another line. He was just like, I'll slap that whisker biscuit off his face. And I was like, please make this man stop talking. Please. Tyrese. This brother, he's like a goddamn Smurf character or in the Balls Brigade. He's just there to just fucking yell. That's all he does. He just yells, screams, and he's the comedic effect. Whatever. And his comedy, oh my Lord, it is not funny at all. Ludacris, he's there to hack shit. He don't say barely any damn thing. The lines he do say, you don't even know what the fuck he said. And that shit he's hacking, people, come on now. Come on now. But back on Tyrese, though, he also has some god-awful lines toward the end, too, as well. Especially towards the submarine part, where he's like, oh, it's selfie time. Get my young selfie level up. I said, the fuck did that Negro just say? And then I think he even said when they were trying to make Ramsay choose. Ramsay's the curly hair, beautiful, gorgeous girl that's in this film that you see always sitting by Ludacris. Tyrese said, you can choose between the super geek over here, or you can choose me, the Dark Knight. When he said that, I said, I will never watch that movie ever again now. Thank you a lot. Fuck you, Tyrese. I will never watch The Dark Knight. You know what? Let me take that back. I will not watch The Dark Knight in God knows how many years until I forget about that man ever saying that line. That man called himself The Dark Knight. Just want y'all to let that sink in your head right now. Called himself damn near Batman. Why is people giving this shit passes? I don't get it. Charlize Theron, I will say the opening, it feels like an original, one of those opening Fast and Furious films. And then when it gets to the part where, you know, Vin Diesel finds out, he finally sees Elena and the baby. And he's got, you see it in the trailer where he says, I got no choice, whatever. I have to say, I thought The Rock's dialogue was bad in the way he delivered. Charlize Theron and Vin Diesel, which Vin Diesel, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, the guy's a horrible actor. I don't know who these people that defend him, but this dude is terrible. I mean, the best thing he does, as far as I'm concerned, is I Am and Groot. That's about it. Maybe sometimes We Are Groot. He's very believable in those three lines. Sorry, four lines at times. He's very believable when he's waving as a baby tree, you know. He's believable when he smiles as a wooden tree, you know. But in here, he is fucking terrible. I'm not gonna lie. I couldn't understand half his goddamn dialogue in this film because he was fucking mush mouth throughout the whole damn film, whatever. And half the time, I thought he was high. His eyes are so closed down in this film. I was like, brother, either you're going to try or not. What are you going to do? I feel like everybody else in here are just, they don't have scripts. They just say, fuck it. We just going to act how we normally would or whatever, because that's why we suck. And plus, we're not really actors anyway, so we're just going to suck more with this. But I feel like Vin Diesel, basically what I'm trying to say is, I feel like everybody else, maybe they are having fun with this, but Vin Diesel ain't having fun with this. He's trying to take this shit serious. And his character is just boring as fuck, too, by the way. Like, frankly, they're all boring as fuck, though. But Vin Diesel and Charlize Theron, I have to say, their scene together was on the level of Tyler Perry and Megan Fox in that last Ninja Turtles film. It was pretty fucking god-awful, I must say. I have never seen a scene that, because mainly these movies are made to be goofy, stupid, we don't give a fuck car crash movies. But the middle half of this film, this is why I said it got boring, is because the middle half of this film tried to go real serious. And I'm not talking about Fast and Furious serious, because I don't think these movies know what they are. I think these movies are trying to be serious in some parts, especially when it comes to the actors and stuff like that. But this film with F. Gary Gray, which I think he was a terrible choice for directing this, he tries to bring some weight into this, and he tries to make this serious, and I think he forgot that he's working with people that can't act for shit. Unless it's Kurt Russell, Charlize Theron, and Dwayne Johnson. But Charlize Theron is giving some awful dialogue, and her scene with Vin Diesel was fucking cringeworthy. Not only because their dialogue is bad, it's because these two have no chemistry together. And Vin Diesel is like talking to a fucking wooden stick. Funny enough, he plays a wooden stick, and he's more believable in that role. He was just terrible in his line delivery in this scene. I was just shaking my head at some part. I was like, man, you might need to go back to acting school. So I don't know what it is you need to do, but I see you trying to portray emotion right here, and it's pretty fucking awful. There's even a scene, people, where I guess because we can't have Elena in these films no more. We just can't, because, you know, she was a former lover of Dom. With Letty back and her memory is all reinstated and stuff like that, we can't have this bitch here. So we got to kill her. And they do some pretty gruesome shit in here, too. They kill her ass in front of the baby because, you know, why? Because Vin Diesel didn't kill Michelle Rodriguez's character, and he kind of almost let her get away with the briefcase for the nuclear codes. Fucking nuclear codes, people. That's where these movies have gone to. They got nuclear codes now. And Vin Diesel's supposed to, I mean, he's on the other side of this glass where his baby is being held by Charlize Theron, and her right-hand henchman just murdered, who I think was, his name was Rhodes in the film. He just murdered his ex-lover and his, pretty much his baby mama, basically. And he just sat there and just looked up, breathed real hard, and said his shitty-ass line and walked away, and I was just like, and the best they can do with this brother, when all like the next scene comes by, he's sitting at a table with his hands folded, and he's just saying, I forgot the metaphor he made, but he's like, "Oh, you better go kiss my baby." Oh yeah, he said, "You better go kiss my baby because that's the only reason why you're still alive." And I was like, "Oh my fucking god!" Now let's get into some logic now of the film. We get to this submarine, people, but before we get to this. So this submarine is in Russia. Kurt Russell's character, he pretty much tells them, this is an international incident now. This is where all bets is off the fucking table. You know, whatever little shit I could go with in this film. When this scene came up, I said, oh, fuck this now. They send... Well, first of all, let me explain Charlize Theron's character to set up here. She is the ultimate of ultimate computer hacker. She has a team, they can hack into any fucking thing they want to. It is amazing that the CIA, FBI, and all these people have never once like tried to run her door down. Because apparently all she does is fly around in this plane that apparently is not traceable at all, even though, you know, if they were looking for that, especially with the, I forgot what they called this thing, the God's Eye or something like that, that they have, that Ramsey and Ludacris set up in the last film or something like that. They never once think about using this to track this woman because she's been around for a long, long time, apparently, because guess this, people? She's the super boss of the Fast and Furious franchise. And you people wondering, like, what do you mean by super boss? Okay, all the events that's happened in the Fast and Furious films, apparently, Charlize Theron has been in charge of all those events or whatever. Apparently, Jason Statham's brother worked for her. Every like mission they've ever done was pretty much her. She was the boss of in some parts of them. So she had like hired damn, this really is some, this, they trying to be some James Bond shit like that. You remember in Skyfall? It was Spectre. I think it was Skyfall. Yeah, it was Skyfall. No, it was Spectre. When they showed all the bosses, you showed all the bosses from the previous films and stuff like that, and then you had the main guy that was sitting up there. You know what I'm talking about. Well, that's with the same thing with this. Charlize Theron is the main girl of all these missions that they've been on, that they just never encountered her. But she's always seen Don. She's always been in the background lurking. So the way she gets these Russian nuclear codes is she sends, and this is the scene you see in the trailer where the team tries to stop Don, and they grapple hook his car. And by some logic, he manages to escape by revving his engine up. I know. And the way they get these nuclear codes is they do some Civil War shit where they had, she controls every car because she can hack into cars too, whatever. That's how good this girl is. It's fucking incredible that nobody is trying to stop this woman. And she has these cars just come down on the Russian ambassador or whoever he was, and they smash him in, and this big explosion happens, but yet he don't die. He doesn't die at all. There's even a bodyguard in there who shoots at Vin Diesel, but he's got that shield and armor on, and when he runs out of bullets, he just tells the Russian, I'm out of bullets, and he does nothing after that. And they end up giving him the... Everybody else dies in the scene, by the way, but this dude just manages to still... They end up giving him the codes. He escapes with the codes. He ends up shooting Jason Statham's character. But before this, there was a scene where Vin Diesel got to talk to his Jason Statham's mother, who's played by... This actually pained me to see this in this scene, too. And it was played by Helen Mirren, who's got a few lines in this film, but she plays Luke Evans and Jason Statham's mother. And apparently, you know, he sets up some plan to where they kill Jason Statham, but he doesn't really kill him. He just fakes it. And the next door, her men goes and get him, his body and stuff. They bring him back to life. He gives they give him a tracking device to find the plane because Dom left his chain on the plane. And I don't know if you knew, but his cross chain was a tracking device. You gotta be fucking kidding me. So, two people fly onto this plane, by the way. And you're gonna laugh at who it was. Da-da-da-da, it was Jason Statham's brother, Luke Evans. He ain't dead. They team up to work together, which, by the way, they don't even like each other. So, now that's shocking for me because if I recall, the reason why Jason Statham came in the last film is because he wanted to get revenge on the death of his brother, right? But in this whole flashback sequence of setting how Jason Statham lived through this scene, they're showing, his mother is yelling at him for, because he doesn't like his brother. And they argue about this. And I'm looking like, wait a minute. Wasn't the whole movie about you avenging your brother's death? I guess we don't have continuity in these films. So, next thing you know, Charlize Theron basically, she has nuclear codes now. She pretty much is going to use these codes to just send nuclear missiles out into the world and stuff. But instead of calling the CIA or anything like that, Kurt Russell says, I'm going to send Tyrese Gibson, Ludacris, Dwayne Johnson, Jason Statham, and Michelle Rodriguez, and we can't forget fucking Scott Eastwood's character, Lil Nobody, and what's that girl's name? Ramsey. We're going to send them to stop nuclear submarine now from Russia. Not to mention, this is going to be like, I can only imagine this... This is gonna have some implications. Hey, you invaded our country and stole our fucking weapons. It's gonna be some national security issue here, but nah, that's probably not gonna happen. These movies don't make sense. So they end up stopping the nuclear codes by taking the security chip out. And once Jason Statham, which I gotta say, he had some shitty ass action sequences in this film at the beginning of the film. It was shot terrible. When they was escaping from prison, this scene looked god-awful. I mean, it was shaky cam. The camera was shooting from upside down to side angles. It looked awful.
I will say, though, he redeemed himself with this plane sequence of having this baby and ending up shooting these things. And I got to tell you, it's funny because the best actor in this whole movie is that goddamn baby. I don't know if they CG'd that baby or what to do what he was doing, but whoo. That baby knew how to smile, laugh, look, frown, and make faces that nobody else in this movie knew how to do. It was incredible that this baby was able to do. This baby deserves a fucking Oscar. I think when this baby grows up, it's going to realize, oh, God, y'all put me in this shitty-ass film right here? What's wrong with y'all? But this sequence, actually, I can see the fun part in this. Because Jason Statham, the camera wasn't shaky or nothing like that, and it looked badass for him. So I was like, oh my god, thank you. Whew. I feel like if we make spinoff movies, we can do one with Jason Statham, and if they got a good action director to film it, it could be a lot of fun. A lot of Jason Statham action films are all dumb as shit, but when he kicks people's ass, they tend to be fun. So they get like low streamings on the best just because he kicks people's ass for the fun of it. He ends up stopping everybody in this plane, and Dom Toretto, he goes like, good, I don't have to work for you no more or whatever, so I can go save my family or whatever and shit. I gotta tell you, man, they shoot a heat-seeking missile out on him, on the whole cars and stuff like that. Which, by the way, this was ridiculous as fuck in the first place because these cars were riding on on ice. Even though the only car that was spinning out of control was the Lamborghini that Tyrese was having because he's the comedy guy, so we gotta have the comedy with him, but the car was still working in some parts. And it's funny because these cars, the Rock's got a big ass truck, which I don't know how it's keeping up with these sports cars or anything like that, but this shit does not sink in ice at all. You know, when people walk on ice, this shit tends to break, but these cars, oh hell no. These cars are fine. Dom Toretto, he ends up joining the team back. He don't show no facial reaction or anything. They just know that Dom's back. They send a heat-seeking missile out on them, and this is right before, no, this is right after the Rock decides to go 150 miles per hour in his truck and slides on ice while holding on the door, grabs a torpedo, and tells Tyrese to turn the car left, and he pushes the torpedo out to blow up another car. Damn. And meanwhile, Ludacris, who has a tank, only uses the damn thing once to fire guns back at them. Blows my fucking mind. So then they shoot heat-seeking missiles. Heat fires up his Nas and tells the team to meet him out by the river. He ends up jumping this snow hill, pretty much doing the turnaround so the missile could hit the submarine instead of him. And he jumps a hill and turn and hits the submarine by the tire so it spins in the air. And this torpedo, or not this torpedo, but this heat-seeking missile goes through the fucking submarine. It catches Dom's car on fire. He ends up getting out just at the right moment, and I remember saying, you gotta be fucking kidding me. He still should die because look how much shrapnel is flying from that damn submarine, and the flames engulfed over him. And you know what stopped any kind of shrapnel or flames or anything hitting this man? The family. They end up bringing their cars and circling around him to protect him from the flames, even though the flames engulf them and break the windshields. But nobody comes out with a fucking scratch of shark. This submarine, I don't even gotta describe it. It's a fucking submarine. The fact that everyone walked out of here without a touch of shrapnel penetrating them at all blew my I remember saying out loud, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And the person next to me was just like, what? It's fun, dude. I was like looking at, this person kind of pissed me off a couple of times, actually, because I remember when they introduced Elena, because apparently this movie thinks that people just remember these films. Apparently the person next to me thought this too, and this was actually a paid fucking critic sitting next to me too. This person sitting next to me, that's Elena. She's in the fifth movie. I said, come on, she's been on the canoe, come on. I just looked at my head slowly turned because I said out loud, who the fuck is that? Sudden Dom's got a kid or whatever, and they introduced this character. It's like Elena. It was like, you don't remember the last films? Or it's like, no, I don't fucking remember the last films. I try to forget these fucking films when I see them. Anyway, Dom don't explain a goddamn thing. Michelle Rodriguez's character, she hugs him.
She's like, I knew you couldn't forget about me. And he was like, you know you're the most important. He just mumbled. I didn't understand a word he said after that. And I'm just like, everybody else smiling, laughing. Tyrese, I got to get my selfie game on A1 or some shit like that. And I remember, but my eyes ain't never rolled so hard in my head. Where by that, that line alone gave it a fuck it. I was, yeah, fuck this movie. And nobody goes, hey, what happened or anything like that. But then next, you know what, the next scene, because Charlize Theron, she ends up getting away. They never explain how Luke Evans survived and what happened to him afterwards. We just know that, you know, they're having a barbecue in New York City on a rooftop. Even though Charlize Theron gets away. The very next scene after this submarine sequence is we're on a fucking rooftop having a barbecue, because that's what they do with these things. You know, you got everybody, you know, The Rock, they say, oh, man, your record is clear. You can have your job back. And he's like, nah, man, you know, I'm going to hang out with my daughter, man. I ain't got time for this. Ludacris and Tyrese fighting over this girl who just don't want them at all. She rolls her eyes at him or whatever, and I'm thinking in my head, shit, maybe I need to join the next Fast and Furious film and shit and be like, throw my name in the hat now, girl. How about you? Yeah, she's fine as fuck. I'll give you that. And I will say she's probably the most believable out of everything here. I'm going to tell you this right now. If people criticize Chris Hemsworth, I feel like giving Black Hat a fucking high C. People criticize Chris Hemsworth like, how the fuck is this dude a computer hack or whatever? He all big and muscular and shit like that. If you believe Ludacris is a fucking computer hacker, then something must be terribly fucking wrong. This Negro looks nothing like a fucking computer hacker. There's even a scene in here too. Tyrese tells him, man, you've been acting all different ever since you got your little whiskers and stuff. He smiles and he's rubbing his beard and stuff like that. And he sticks his chin out. He's like, it's a good beard. And I was like, okay, man, I can't take this shit. This movie is just fucking pandering or whatever. It was killing time over and over. And I remember just saying, oh my God, just fucking end already. I have to say, because, you know, they bring the baby and then next, you know, they do a little prayer at this barbecue talking about, we welcome this baby to the family. They named the baby Brian, which I thought was kind of fucking ridiculous. I mean, I get it. It's supposed to be a tribute, but it's kind of ridiculous because in the movie earlier they said, oh, he's retired. He's not doing it. But then they named the baby Brian and it's like, okay, either he's dead in the movie or he's not. I mean, that don't make any sense why you would do that. I got to tell you, for a movie that's supposed to be about dumb, crazy action, it's pretty boring as shit. But the thing is, too, these action set pieces are just bland as generic as shit, dude. I can't believe Michael Bay gets criticism. At least I can give this man credit in something. The dude really does take IMAX and CGI and does something. Like, it's a power blazer when they come together. It looks like shit. But they almost damn near look realistic. You never can complain about his CGI and stuff or his set pieces or anything like that. But in here, this movie felt like a 2-hour and 16-minute just long ass set piece. It just would not end. And I was just like, oh my God, do these action set pieces even have meaning to them or anything like that? No, they're just there to set up another car chase and stuff. And every one of their fucking missions, it bothers the shit out of me. They never have to get out the fucking car. It's always revolved around the cars and shit like that. I've never seen so many goddamn missions that involve like nuclear codes and stuff like that. That revolves you staying in your damn car. You're just driving. That's really what it is. Where even the fucking transporter, he gets out of the fucking car and oils himself up to beat people's ass. But not in this movie. We can do everything with these damn cars. I absolutely hated this fucking movie. I absolutely fucking despise this movie. I was so happy to see the score just drop on this motherfucker. I was like, oh, finally. Critics are understanding. These things aren't critic proof. They're dumb as shit. And just like the other dumb movies we don't give passes to, we need to stop giving these dumb ass movies passes to. But then it just stayed at a mild 63%, and I looked at them and was like, ain't this a bitch? Ain't this a bitch? So on that principle alone, I gotta give this movie a low fuck it. It was just gonna get a fuck it in general, but I gotta give this a low fuck it to make up for whatever critics giving these passes and shit like that. Because this is ridiculous. You know, I'm just going to use that excuse now from whenever you know, you see, like, superhero films or anything. If you have fun, I'm just going to, that comic movie's going to have fun, though. Give it a pass. They're having fun. Stop trying to degrade these films or whatever. I don't know why these movies are getting passes. I really don't. But that shit ain't happening here at Movie Spoilers. This is getting a low fuck it from me. Fuck this movie. Fuck these actors. Fuck these characters. And fuck their family. I don't want to hear that shit no more. 12
fucking times.
Family, family, but
that word had absolutely no meaning at all in this fucking film. I'm protecting my family to kill my family. Family, that's what it. Man, fuck. Why am I going? Look, it's late. I need to go to fucking bed. First of all, get this review set up. It's late. I'm going to bed. I need to go to Coachella tomorrow. I ain't got time for this shit. Fuck this movie. It's a low fucking.
You gotta catch Doc. You're gonna need a little help.
You wanna tell me why you just put me in a room with this teen crumpets eating criminal?
You don't think that tight t-shirt's cutting up the circulation of your brain? You should get bigger size.
You guys are gonna work together.
Love to.
I've been waiting for this. We got a tank.
Now it's my turn.
Oh, baby!
Give up,
you thought this was gonna be a street fight.
It's not a torpedo!
Take the wheel!
What? This is crazy!
Alright, you get style points for that one.
Boom!
I don't know why you're doing this, but I know one thing. You love me.